If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Bill Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to this new edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast, where our guest today is a familiar face and a successful graduate. Becky Story, about to begin her second season as UCI Women's World Tour professional with Team DSM Firmenich Post NL, first came to prominence with Brother UK on form when she won the Scottish Road title and finished second on her debut at the grueling Rydell Grand Prix. A year later, after adding the Lincoln Grand Prix to her palmares and proving herself against the world's best on the Queen's stage of the 2022 Women's Tour, Becky completed her meteoric rise by earning a place alongside British road race champion Pfeiffer Georgie in the Dutch World Tour team. With races of another magnitude under her belt, Liège, Bastogne-Liège, the Giro d'Anne, and the Tour de Romandie, to name only three, the former triathlete and psychology graduate is ready to go again. Becky, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, nice to be here.
I think it was the 2021 Women's Tour, isn't it, that you broke through, not the 2022. I might have heard that wrong.
No, it was. I did the 2021 Women's Tour, and that was when it was in October, wasn't
yeah.
it? And then, no, I think, yeah, it was 2022 in May, so when it was much sunnier.
I remember you slugging it out against the world's best in the mountains of Wales, and that felt like a crystallising moment, did it to you?
Yeah, definitely. I think that was probably the moment where I thought, oh, this is actually something that I really want to do and can see myself doing longer term.
Here we are in Calpe in January. Are you starting to feel like an old hand at this now?
No, definitely not. I'm still learning a lot every single day being on this team. And I still have to pinch myself on a number of occasions.
You're living the dream.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I feel very grateful to be here.
Were you here in Calpe for pre-season training last year?
Yeah, we came in December and January, just like, we say last year actually, yeah, in December last year.
And last year was your first year with the team.
Yeah, it was.
How do you reflect on that first year? How further developed are you as a rider from even 12 months ago?
Yeah, I've changed massively over those 12 months, I think. How I came into the team was very fast-tracked as well. Obviously, I only signed my contract at the end of November 2022, and then a week later I was flown out onto the first training camp to meet everyone and then moved to the Netherlands in January to be really part of the team and all in on the process. And to be completely honest, my first 6 months were super challenging, just adapting to, you know, lifestyle and racing at this level. But the team was super patient with me, and now I feel like I've kind of found my place within the team and it really feels like home now.
Would that period of adaptation have been easier if you had been longer in the sport? Pfeiffer, speaking to you yesterday, for example, has raced a bike from about the age of four. Her brother was a rider, her father was a masters champion. They went to bike races every weekend in the UK. You came to the sport comparatively late. Would that have helped a sort of history in the sport, or is there no shortcut for finding yourself in a professional team?
I think that it definitely would have helped. I think that was my biggest problem, was that I never, you know, I started cycling properly in 2019, and then only in 2021 did I realistically start to kind of chase that pro contract. It was something that I actively wanted at that point. So it's not something that I've, you know, I've been from like 5 years old, I want to be a professional cyclist. You know, my parents aren't, my dad's sporty, but they're not like, I don't come from a big sport background, and I didn't grow up watching cycling. So I know very little about the sport and as a whole. So then stepping into this team, it was just like quite overwhelming because they're so successful. And then to be on, obviously, alongside riders like Pfeiffer, who I looked up to on the British scene from when I first came in, it was quite a real pinch me moment and thought, oh God, I don't know if I'm actually meant to be here.
Well, your talent had carried you here. I mean, it was obvious even in the on-form days that you had a level of talent beyond most riders in the domestic scene. Took that on to Cams Basso and then into the women's tour. Is your talent sort of run ahead of your experience a bit?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it's just kind of when I look back at how much has changed in the last 3 years, two to three years especially, I think it's just what's kind of got me there is just pure love of the sport. You know, the domestic scene was thriving when I came into it, and there were so many races and such a strong quality like field that the women could put together. Sometimes the women would outnumber the men on a number of occasions, and yeah, it was just really great fun to be a part of, and I never kind of thought too deeply into it, and just that kind of passion and love was always the driving force, and with that comes success, I guess.
I mean, as you say, you're not familiar with the history of the sport or anything like that, but with all that said, are there certain things about being a pro cyclist that you can only learn by being a pro cyclist? Have you discovered things about the sport, about the nature of bike racing, that you simply wouldn't have discovered any other way than riding for a World Tour team?
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily even just riding for a World Tour team. It's just, like you say, just getting that racing experience. I had no racing experience when I went into a lot of the National Series races, and it was just, well, let's just go in here with no expectation and we'll see how it goes. And I'd come away from every race having learned so much, and it's all, you know, being in a peloton's not necessarily the most comfortable experience, but it's just one of those things that you become more and more used to being in those groups. And yeah, I don't think it really matters if it's World Tour or not. I think you can learn from any peloton on any race.
How do you feel at this beginning of the second season? Are you excited? Are you anxious? Do you feel more confident than you would have done 12 months ago? What's your mindset, Becky, looking into the second season with DSM?
I'm definitely excited. I think, as I mentioned, the first 6 months of last season were quite difficult and challenging for me, just adapting to being part of this team, living in a different country, racing at this level for various factors, being away from family and friends as well. And just in a new training regime, there were so many different factors. And I feel like after those 6 months, I started to really find my place and settle and adapt to being in the Women's World Tour races, and feel like I belonged there in the end. So the steps that I made, particularly in the last 2 months of last season, were massive. And I really hope to build on that this year.
Your first sporting love was triathlon, and you pushed yourself extremely hard, I think almost to the point where you had a sort of physical collapse. So you know a bit about physiology, you know what it takes to perform at a very high level, how to push yourself. How much further advanced is the knowledge in a World Tour team where you have professional physios, professional coaches? Is that night and day from what you learned for yourself as a triathlete?
Yeah, massive. And I think, obviously I can only speak for this team, but on our team, we have experts in all areas that we can rely on, you know, nutrition, performance, you know, the list goes on. We're super, super lucky to have so many incredibly intelligent people that we can lean on and learn from. And it's almost, we don't have to think about it. They tell us and we do it, and it's great. So I've learned so much in that regard this year. But I think the biggest thing is just being able to do it full time and not have to work alongside it. Or thankfully, I don't do my studies anymore. I've graduated and just can put all my energy into cycling, and having that recovery time has been night and day to my training.
The recovery is every bit as important as the effort on the bike.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I think that's where all the gains are made, in that recovery period. And I think when I look back to my first few years, I was working, studying, and trying to ride my bike full time and make the best of it. And I was always exhausted. And it's really hard to make those marginal gains. And that's where those marginal gains are made in that recovery period. Yeah.
Talked about the challenges that you faced in your first season. Were there lots of pinch me moments as well? Can you give us an idea of the pleasure, the joy of being a professional rider?
I had countless pinch me moments, particularly at races such as like Liège and the Giro, to be there, races that I've watched on the TV and always wondered, oh, I wonder if I'll be there one day. And then to actually be there was really, really special. Yeah, to be around and become friends with people that you've, like I said, like you've watched on TV and learn from them. There was a lot of pinch me moments. And I think back to those times when I was studying and working in a supermarket, and sometimes, because of course everyone gets those days or the weather's not great and I don't really want to go out for 4 or 5 hours in the rain. But then I just remember just how lucky I am to do what I love every single day.
Quite a privileged existence, isn't it?
Yeah, being, very privileged.
I mean, however hard you guys work, and boy, do you work hard. Is this a step even from the European races that you did with Cams Basso? You did Settimana Valenciana, I think, 2 years running, once with Cams, and then last year again with DSM. Can you sort of quantify the difference? Is there greater expectation?
I was very fortunate. When I raced with Cams, they had a really great support team there. We never went without. We always did our best on a small budget, you know, as a small team. And I loved my time with them. It was a really great environment for me to be in. But of course, then returning to that same race with DSM, there are major differences, you know, when we've got the bus, we've got showers, we've got food. I remember being with Cams and always looking, we'd finish a stage, and one of the stages, it was really cold and wet, and it finished at the top of a mountain and it was basically hailing. And we were all sat there with towels and camping chairs and looking at the buses thinking, oh, one day, I wonder if we'll be on a bus like that. And it's nice to look back at that and then see how far you've come. But also to be there again this year with DSM and still see Cams Basso, well, this last year, Das Hansling at the race. And I have a lot of great friends there.
This year, two brother are on board.
I hope so.
Das Hutchinson, Brother UK. Let's talk more broadly about women's cycling, about the development of the sport, which has been exponential. Do you feel that parity has been achieved, or is there still a way to go?
I think there's definitely still a way to go, but I think we're definitely on the right track, and we're getting there, but I think there's still a long way to go with that. And but I think that will be achieved in the coming years.
What have been the big changes? Is it the introduction of a minimum wage? Is it the Tour de France Femme? What have been the game-changing moments?
I think definitely having the Tour de France Femme was massive for women's cycling. And in my opinion, should have happened a long, long time ago. And I think it proved in its first year just how successful it was and how many people loved watching women's cycling. It's very different when you watch men's cycling. Women's cycling is a lot more unpredictable. It's shorter. You can't predict it. And it's very exciting to watch, I think. Not that the men's cycling isn't, obviously, but it's just very, very different. And it showed that there was a need there for women's sport. And I loved it. And I think that obviously having the minimum wage is massive, because now it means that riders can go full time, and it improves the quality of the field and the peloton, because women can actually dedicate all their time and focus to their training and their sport, and it just raises the level for everyone.
And on a personal note, is the Tour de France Femmes, is that a must-have? Is that something you'd like to have on your palmarès?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's what everyone aspires to be on that start line, whether that's next year this year or in the future. I don't know, but it's definitely something that I'll always be striving towards.
The tour is the tour.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's one to tell the grandkids, isn't it?
You mentioned a few minutes ago, Becky, that when you were coming through the British ranks, it was an exciting time, that there were lots of races, lots of teams. And if anything, it's even bigger now. There are six British registered UCI Continental Women's teams for 2024. Do you still follow the domestic scene, or are you solely focused now on World Tour racing?
Absolutely. I have a lot of friends that race in the domestic scene, so I'm always following and supporting them. And I think, as you say, that for women's cycling in the domestic scene, it's thriving. And unfortunately for the men, that doesn't seem to be the case, which again is crazy to think, isn't it? You think, oh, women are overtaking the men in some respect, but I definitely still follow it.
I spoke to one of our riders, Tiffany Keep, a South African, interviewed last year, and she said she was getting rather tired of people saying that the British domestic scene was on its knees. Yeah. She said, the reason I've travelled 10,000 miles to race in the UK is I think it's thriving. And of course, she's absolutely right. But yeah, there are definite challenges for the men's scene, but let's hope they can be overcome. I mean, you must be the living proof of the strength of the British scene. You've come through those ranks and you've turned professional.
Yeah, and not just me. Obviously now we have Josie on our team as well. A lot of juniors coming through, you know, Kat Ferguson, Zoe Baxter. The list just is incredible when you actually write it down, the amount of women that have come through the domestic scene. It's really, really exciting for the future.
Is it known in the UCI Women's World Tour? Do your colleagues, the staff, do they talk about British domestic women's road racing?
Not really, but I think we're always known for being quite hard races. You know, Britain's a very harsh environment to train in, and whenever everyone comes over to races like the Women's Tour and Ride London, everyone's always complaining about how harsh our training roads are, so grippy, but we love it and it makes for really hard racing.
Just on the Women's Tour, it's under threat at the moment. How big a loss would it be if it wasn't held again?
Yeah, massive. I have a lot to thank for the Women's Tour. That was the platform that kind of springboarded me onto the scene off a number of World Tour teams and gave me this opportunity that I've got now. For sure, it's one of my favourite races. And I know, not just as a British rider, obviously I'm biased, but I know it's a lot of girls in my team's favourite race and others in the peloton. It's always been a race that's been run very professionally and very well organised, and that's what it's known for.
Going back years now, again, working alongside Cervelo Bigler and Ashley Moorman, saying, why can't every race be as good as the women's tour?
Yeah, exactly. You hear that all the time when we're there, or it's always one that's compared to other races, or the women's tour was run like this, or it's not at the standard of the women's tour, which is really special, and credit to the organisation.
We were talking about the number of British riders on DSM, and there's a number of British people on the staff.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it an easy team for a British person to assimilate into?
Yeah, definitely. English is the main language of the team. And I always joke and say that despite being a Dutch team, like predominantly a Dutch team, that their English is better than our standard English. So there's a lot of actually staff and riders on this team that sometimes I forget that they're not British because their English is so incredible. And it makes me feel extra terrible about my Dutch after living in the Netherlands for a year.
That's a hard language to master, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I set myself a challenge, actually. Every time I go to a supermarket, I try and learn a new word. But as far as actually being able to string a sentence together, I've not got very far.
We're looking forward now into 2024. Do you have any specific goals, or is it simply to continue the process of development?
Yeah, I think it's simply to follow on from the development that I made last year and use that experience that I gained to actually have a bit more confidence in myself. As I said, the first few months I was kind of sinking or swimming on a lot of occasions and just trying to get through and be a sponge almost, as learn as much as I could from those more experienced riders on our team. And thankfully we have a lot of them, and they've been super helpful and brilliant role models for me to learn from. So I'm definitely feeling much more confident about this year. But yeah, I think it's going to take me probably a couple of years of just gaining that experience and development.
Have you found a role for yourself in this team? Are there moments in the race? Are there types of races where people look to Becky's story?
I think they don't just look to me. We have a lot of obviously strong riders that have similar characteristics to myself. But I think I sort of thrive more in the hillier stages. or hillier one day races, or mostly stage racing is where I feel most comfortable and confident in. And it's definitely like that sort of GC leadership role. Like I look to Juliette, like she's been in this team for, I've lost count of the number of years, 6 or 7 years now. And as I said, she's such an incredible role model for me as a leader in our team. So I try and learn from as much from her as possible.
Heck of a rider. You could have worse role models.
Definitely, yeah. And training partners on camp, yeah. She's brilliant to train with.
Wonderful. Good stuff. Well, Becky, thank you very much indeed for joining us today. And very best of luck for 2024.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.